are listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It is a Hymn Sing with Sarah Day. I'm excited to share some hymns with you. And this is a bit of a delinquent episode. Whoopsie. About, I don't know, several weeks ago, I was just thinking about episodes, you know, for this year, 2026. And I realized that I promised a year ago to do the close of service hymns at the end of 2025 because I did the opening service, beginning of service hymns in January of 2025. But I totally forgot that. So here we are in January 2026. And I'm going to cover the end of service hymns now because...
Better late than never.
Better late than never. And they're still, they're always relevant. So it's fine. And... these are Lutheran Service Book 917 to 924. There are only 8 of them. This is the shortest list I've done in a really long time. And silly me was like, oh, there's only 8. I'll just tack on another short little section. Nope. Mm-mm. Because I got to the second hymn in this list and I think I ended up with like 2 pages of notes. And wow. I quickly scrapped the idea to do any more than 8. Oh, so goodness. I have many pages, which is probably unsurprising to anybody. Just sometimes there's just not that much to say, but not today. There's plenty to say about a couple of these. So
these are storied hymns.
Far more than I thought. Yes, actually. And it's mostly about the tunes, which it's just so wild. So close of service hymns, 917, Savior again to thy dear name we raise. 918, guide me, O thou great redeemer. 919, abide, O dearest Jesus. 920, forth in the peace of Christ we go. 921, on what has now been sown. 922, go my children with my blessing. 923, Almighty Father, bless the word. And 924, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. I did a poll as usual. And these are kind of like some people love a couple. Some people are like, we never do any of these. And others are like, I'm an organist. We do them all the time. I can actually tell you like results for this poll since there were only 8. There's an actual fan favorite, and that is Go My Children with My Blessing. I'm very unsurprised by this. It was like over 30% of the vote for this one. But it's also got that wedding stanza, which we'll get to. So it's used in weddings and at the end of service. So it's got multi-use. So more people probably know it. The Lord Dismiss Us with Your Blessing came in at number 2 with 18%. Savior, again, to thy dear name we raise, came in 3rd. And then Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer, which if you listen to St. Paul Bible Study on KFUO, that is the opening and closing music for that show. So I can never hear that playing on our station. It freaks me out a little bit when I hear it and it's not St. Paul Bible Study time because I'm like, why is this playing? 919, Abide, O Dearest Jesus, that came in 5th place. And then On What Has Now Been Sown. And then Almighty Father, Bless the Word. And in last place, with 2% of the vote, 4th in the Peace of Christ We Go.
That's because... I'm pretty sure I've never sung that in my life.
I think a lot of people probably haven't. It's the newest out of all of them.
Yeah.
There are good reasons for this.
All the other hymns on the list had a major head start on this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So not surprising. Vigorous. They are vigorous. Mm-hmm.
Go My Children with Your Blessing is not vigorous.
I think the marking for that one is like maestoso. So it's supposed to be a little slow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's have a little frolic through these hymns.
Let's frolic.
I like frolicking
let's
today.
Let's learn.
Erin's not frolicking. Erin's going to learn.
I'm going to learn. Okay, I'll try and frolic. I'm ready to frolic.
We all have to frolic. We're all sitting here, so it's fine. Savior, again, to thy dear name we raise. This is written by John Ellerton, who lived 1826 to 1893. He wrote it in 1866 for the closing service of a choral association in Britain, the Malpas, Middlewich, and Nantwich Choral.
I bet they don't pronounce it that way.
Probably not, and I have no idea how to pronounce it. Today is the day of weird pronunciations.
Nantwich is probably actually pronounced something like Nunwich, knowing how the British like to do things.
Probably. His original 5 stanzas were shortened to 4 stanzas in the 1868 supplement, Hymns Ancient and Modern. His final stanza was sung at his own funeral in 1893. Our LSB combines his stanzas 4 and 5 into our final stanza. And his text is very reflective of the Victorian society he lived in, which was like, you know, 100 years into the Industrial Revolution, this balance of urban and rural imagery and the common Victorian image of pilgrimage. So it's just a beautiful little hymn.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 6 of the 8 of these are public domain, so I will for sure be singing 6 of 8 of them, and we'll see what happens in the final cut of this podcast, whether I get copyright permission to sing the other 2. Okay, here we go.
Savior, again to thy dear name we raise, with one accord our parting hymn of praise. Once more we bless thee ere our worship cease. Then lowly bending, wait thy word of peace. Grant us thy peace upon our homeward way. With thee began, with thee shall end the day. God, thou the lips from sin, the hearts from shame, that in this house have called upon thy name. Grant us thy peace, Lord, through the coming night. Turn thou for us its darkness into light. From harm and danger, keep thy children free. For dark and light are both alike to thee. Grant us thy peace throughout our earthly life, our balm in sorrow and our stay in strife. Then when thy voice shall bid our conflict cease, call us, O Lord, to thine eternal peace.
Man, I wish I wasn't half a country away with a bit of a lag, because what is the melody of this hymn is beautiful, but the harmony is what really makes it, because there's so many like little suspensions and everything. The alto, I could hear the alto line in my brain as you're singing that, and I'm like, where's my alto line? But we've tried this before. It does not work to sing together.
It does not. You're right. The setting on this one, it is a TLH setting for all of our TLH fans out there.
Yeah.
It is a TLH setting. And you're right. It is beautiful. It's just very, it's very peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. 9:18. Buckle up.
click.
This was the moment I realized that we were only going to do 8 today. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. This hymn comes from the magical land of Wales, where singing is apparently ubiquitous wherever you go.
I have heard that.
And there is someone, we have a lady in the lounge who is from Wales, who commented that she loves this one. And I'm like, please tell me more, because I don't know anyone else from Wales, and I must know far more than probably even the Hymnal Companion has about all of the singing that happens in Wales. There are traditional Welsh hymn festivals. I have so much Welsh to pronounce today, so I had to Google all of this. Called Cwmân Fawr Canu, which is not spelled anything like that.
Of course not.
Cymanfaoedd. They're very, very common at one point in the 19th and 20th centuries. They might still be. I wonder if they've like come back, these singing festivals. I love Welsh. It makes no sense in my head how you pronounce it, which makes it a very magical language for me. So this is a fun change from all the German I generally have to speak in these episodes. But Wales has had a huge impact on British and American hymnody. So William Williams, which is a great name. He lived 1717 to 1791. He is the leading Welsh hymn writer. He's often called Williams Pantycelyn, which means Holly Hollow, after the farm where he was raised. He was a leader in the Welsh Methodist movement, and he's theologically Calvinist because Wales preferred a Calvinist version of Methodism over the Arminian version in England. So there's different versions of Calvinism, but they were the Methodist version rather than the Arminians that I think maybe we hear more about from England. Williams is his most known hymn is Arglwth Arwin Truir Anielaunc, which is translated to Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Ah. I am so sorry, dear friend in the lounge, if I am totally butchering the Welsh language. It was first published in 1762 in his collection with the title Gwedi am Nerth y Vinid Tru Ainaluc Ubid, or Prayer for Strength to Go Through the World's Wilderness. I wish you guys could see these words. They don't look anything like the pronunciation. Stanza one is a translation by Peter Williams, who lived 1723 to 1796. No relation to William Williams. I know.
I mean, Williams is a pretty common name.
It's a very common name. No relation. They just coincidentally did this hymn together. It's a prayer to Christ, who led the people of Israel through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. TLH uses Thou Great Jehovah, but LSB uses Thou Great Redeemer, which is actually the literal translation of the Welsh. So the LSB is more faithful to the Welsh.
That's so interesting. You always assume that that TLH is more.
Yeah, but it's not.
All right. Okay. Good job, LSB committee.
I know, right? Stanzas 2 and 3 are by William Williams, his own translation. Stanza 2 is this beautiful imagery from Revelation. Stanza 3 is this lovely eschatological stanza looking forward to Christ's return. The tune is really the fantastic part of this story, though. The Welsh tune, I had yet, until writing this episode, known how to pronounce C-W-M-R-H-O-N-D-D-A. I've seen it, I don't know how many, countless times. I never knew how to pronounce it, and I never bothered to look it up. It's just Cwm Rhondda.
Okay.
Yeah. And now we all know, Cwm Rhondda. There are 5 pages about this tune in the Hymnal Companion. Tunes rarely get this much.
What?
Like, space in the Hymnal Companion. 5 pages.
Okay.
It's not even that old of a tune, and it's had this mysterious origin until pretty recently. So there's one story that John Hughes, who lived 1873 to 1932, he wrote it for the 1905 annual hymn festival at the Baptist Church in Hopkinstown, Pontypridd in Wales. Another story is that it was first used in 1907 at the Welsh Baptist Capel Rhondda in Pontypridd. So Bernard Massey, who shows up, he apparently researches all of this stuff. He was the editor of the Bulletin of the Hymn Society of Great Britain and Ireland from 1975 to 2001, and again from 2003 to 2004. He wrote that with some investigation, they investigated this hymn tune. The date 1907 is the right date, and they concluded that 1905 was just a typographical error. So there we are.
All right.
Town of Pontypridd they also observed the tune's 100th anniversary in 2007. So this town observes a 100th anniversary of a hymn tune. Like, who does that? That is so cool.
Well, a tiny town with very few other claims to fame.
That's true. That sounds so fun. There was also evidence that it was first sung at a hymn festival there in 1907. So the tune also exists in 2 different forms. There's an American one that we have in LSB, and there's a British one which has the last line of the soprano and tenor are flipped. So it's similar, but it is definitely 2 different versions. The American version has a descending line in the second to last measure. In the tune's earliest known printing, in a book, Con Amol, which is a 1918 hymnal of the Calvinist Methodist Church in America. And it took a long time for the tune to be printed in any book. Bernard Massey says that it makes sense because these were printed on a lot of leaflets at hymn festivals in Wales. They didn't do books. They did leaflets for all, and there's a ton of hymn festivals. So it's printed all over the place on these leaflets. And even though these leaflets would have been like a very, very small price, it would have been a really good income.
Yeah, you make it up on volume.
Right. So the author probably would have guarded the copyright and not allowed any other printing of it, at least in Britain. The printing in America in 1918 might have happened without William's knowledge. Whoops. It was set to the Angels from the Realms of Glory with a Welsh translation. And since it was a bilingual hymnal, that Calvinist Methodist church. Britain's first printing of it in a book was the Salvation Army tune book in 1931. And the Methodist hymn book in 1933. There was some thought that the American version, the one that we have, was the original. But a Mrs. Irlis Griffiths of Combach, Aberdeer, had an original program of the 1907 hymn festival because her grandma had attended and kept the program. And we know this. This is so cool. And the cover of the program of that hymn festival is in the Hymnal Companion. So you can see it along with the original printing of this hymn with the Welsh text, which is not actually the text that we have. Ours is in English.
Which is good, because the average congregation probably couldn't handle Welsh pronunciation.
Correct. Yes. It's just that you can also see the notation. The notation is different than how we read music also. It's just really cool. So if you have a hymnal companion or access to one, highly recommend going to see this. It's just a little cool little tidbit of history. The original tune name was just Ronta, but then it was changed to Cum Ronta to avoid confusion with the tune by Moses Owen Jones, which we do not have in LSB. I don't know what it is, but apparently there's a similar name. And so they added to it to make that distinction. The tune originally appeared with a different text, which is See Him Stand Among the Myrtles by Anne Griffiths. But it's in Welsh. I didn't write a pronunciation, so I won't try to say that one. That's still the standard text today in Wales. It's not usually for this hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. The tune was also frequently sung at sporting events. Fun fact. So some people didn't want to sing it in church. It was also really popular with Welsh male chorus choirs, many of which were made up of minors, so like a lot of minors in these choirs. I would love
like minors with pickaxes, not minors under 18.
Correct, yes.
Although presumably a lot of minors were minors.
Probably, true. Yes.
Yes, okay.
Minors, yes. And also Welsh soldiers in World War One. So this is just a really, really popular hymn tune.
I can see it being, like, it would give you courage.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, coming in, getting ready to head down into the mine.
Yeah.
You want something that's going to lift your spirits as you're going into the dark and the deep in the dark and the... Yeah.
Yeah.
This is gonna lift your spirits.
I think it will.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also normally sung in four parts, which is the norm with Welsh hymns. They just sing everything in four parts and they sing hymns all over the place. And this sounds like a place where I want to live.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is like when you call it the magical land of Wales.
It is the magical land of Wales. All right. I'm gonna sing it, or at least attempt to. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through the barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till want no more. So good.
Yes.
All right. 919, Abide, O dearest Jesus. This is a good old German hymn. Ach, bleib mit deiner Gnade, that first appeared in 1627 in Joshua Stegmann, his Christliches Gebetbüchlein, and in the third edition of his Suspiria Temporum in 1628. So Joshua Stegmann lived 1588 to 1632, which means, get out those bingo cards, this is a 30 years war hymn.
I shouldn't laugh every time I hear that because it was a terrible time to be alive, but my goodness, the hymnody.
It's so good.
Prolific.
Ugh, it's just so good. The full title of Stegmann's hymnal refers to all of just that, the upheaval, the battles, the death of the war, and that the hymns in the hymn book would provide comfort, consolation, and strength in the face of all those horrible tribulations. So it's literally exactly what we always talk about when the 30 Years' War comes up. These hymns were just really, really great for the people living at that time. So it also definitely gives a different vibe to this hymn. It's not just like, we're done with worship. It's a like, we're going through the most horrible time of our entire lives and God will give us worship strength.
And going out, going back to
death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
You got to take it with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely a different vibe. The rubric for this specific hymn says that it's a prayer for the preservation of doctrine and of the Church of God. The version we have in LSB is a translation from August Cruel, who lived 1845 to 1923. And this was the first in hymns of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in 1886 and Evangelical Lutheran Hymn Book in 1889. And I will sing. Sorry, I had to check the tune really fast to make sure I knew it. Abide, O dearest Jesus, among us with your grace, that Satan may not harm us, nor we to sin give place. Abide, O dear Redeemer, among us with your word, and thus now and hereafter true peace and joy afford. Abide with heavenly brightness among us, precious light. Your truth direct and keep us from error's gloomy night. Abide with richest blessings among us, bounteous Lord. Let us in grace and wisdom grow daily through your word. Abide with your protection among us, Lord, our strength. Lest world and Satan fail us and overcome at length. Abide, O faithful Savior, among us with your love. Grant steadfastness and help us to reach our home above. It's a lovely little six stanza hymn.
It is.
I really like it.
It is a great end of service hymn because even with six stanzas, you are done really quickly. I'd never like to put like a, you know, really super long hymn at the end of the service.
Because
everyone, all the kids are kind of tired and ready to go. So one that can like pack a good punch and then get you on your way. Perfect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't talk much about translators in these hymn sing episodes, sometimes in story times, outside of like Catherine Winkworth and Timothy Dudley Smith. And so we're going to take a small little side quest right now for the story of one, actually two, because you get a bonus, August Cruel. He comes up frequently in these episodes and throughout the hymnal. And he and another one, they just come up all the time. And I have been so curious about their names because they're everywhere. So August Cruel was born in Rostock, Germany on January 27th, 1845. So at this time period, Germany was still a confederation. It wasn't a united country. There was this economic and political stuff going on. So this is before World War I. This is also at the tail end of the big Gesellschaft, the German immigration to America in the late 1830s, and 2 years before the founding of the LCMS. So that's our like Lutheran, German Lutheran time period right here. He immigrated to America after his father died and his mother remarried Albert Friedrich Hoppe, who lived 1828 to 1911, who actually became the editor of the St. Louis edition of Luther's works. So he's got some Lutheran pedigree happening right here.
Mm-hmm.
August enrolled in the Concordia Seminary Preparatory High School, which moved from St. Louis to Fort Wayne in 1861. This has come up once before, I think at the Emily Walther podcast. This move happened mostly due to increased overcrowding at the St. Louis campus because it was so popular. Hmm. What a time to be a Lutheran in America. And then the Civil War breaking out in 1861 really sped up those plans to move that school to Fort Wayne. He came back to St. Louis in 1862 for seminary. And while he was here in St. Louis, he founded the Germania Society. And he was a leader of the Polyhymnia Society, which was this new student society to gain proficiency in the arts of rhetoric and music. This guy meant business with this kind of stuff. Also, where are these societies like this today? I love it. He graduated seminary, probably in Wales. Yes. He graduated seminary in 1865, which must have been a really wild time to be set free into the world from seminary. Mm. He spent a bit of time as Friedrich Lochner's assistant in Milwaukee, which explains so much, actually. I don't have time to explain. Maybe one day we'll have Friedrich Lochner's story on here. But Lochner was really incredible in Milwaukee. We talk about this extensively on the Coffee Hour with Benjamin Kologi. He wrote a book on the history of American sacred music, and Lochner is like super influential. Hmm. So I think we can link to that in the show notes if you want to know more about his story. Really incredible guy. Or just like go read Benjamin's book. It's really good. August also helped found a Lutheran high school in Milwaukee. He was in Grand Rapids for a couple of years, 1871 to 73. But then from 1873 to 1915, which is like most of his life, he was a professor of German at the Concordia College Preparatory School in Fort Wayne. So like he loved the German language. I mean, he native speaker, but he loved it. Mm-hmm. And he loved teaching it. He wrote German textbooks for both high school and college. And obviously he knew German really well, but he also was a lifelong student of the English language, because if you're going to translate hymns into English, you also have to be really good
yes.
at the English language. Yeah. And he especially loved English poetry and hymns, which shows.
Yeah.
He became the LCMS's first really significant English language hymnal editor and translator. I didn't know any of this before I started writing his story. So I was like squealing while I was reading his bio. I was like, this is crazy. No wonder he shows up everywhere. His first collection, Hymn Book for the Use of Evangelical Lutheran Schools and Congregations, was published by the Norwegian Synod in 1879. It had 130 hymns. His second collection, Hymns of the Evangelical Lutheran Church for the Use of English Lutheran Missions, was published by CPH in 1886 with 33 German hymn translations and tunes. Most of the hymns from both of these were in a collection of 400 hymns that he presented to the first convention of the General English Evangelical Lutheran Conference of Missouri and Other States in 1888, which later became the English Synod, which later became the English District. So that's the story of how all that goes. The hymnal was published in 1889 in Baltimore, Evangelical Lutheran Hymn Book. ELHB shows up everywhere, and I didn't know that he was the one that was behind it, because that is one of our early Lutheran hymnals.
You know what else he was behind? I just looked this up. My great-grandfather, George Mossel, would have attended the Fort Wayne Junior College while he was a teacher there.
No way! Huh.
I know. I was just looking up the obituary because I was that's like, so cool. I thought there was some overlap there.
That's 2 degrees separation right here.
Oh, I know. Sarah,
you now have 2 degrees of separation. Rachel is just 1 degree.
1 degree of separation.
What?
I love Lutheran bingo. It's so
amazing.
You're either related to someone, or you went to school with them, or you worked with them. Like, that's basically how it works in our synod.
And if you don't have connections yet, just start meeting people at coffee hour, and you soon will.
Yeah. You will know everybody.
It's a family.
It really is. That's so cool. A second edition of ELHB was produced in 1892 with 50 more hymns and the Common Service, aka Divine Service 3, aka TLH page
15 is the communion
That's
service.
So long. Yeah, so the English service, Common Service, so that ended up in this ELHB that was developed by the General Council, General Synod, and General Synod of the South, which were all three different bodies of churches with really similar names. I think we've covered them before. It's very confusing. ELHB was revised and became the Missouri Synod's first English language hymnal in 1912 after the English Synod became part of the Missouri Synod in 1911. I forgot to look on my bookshelf. I'm pretty sure we have a copy of that in my house. I think it's the 1912 hymnal. It's pretty cool.
Seems likely.
We probably do. We might have more than one. I don't know. I know we have one that says 1912 in it. It's probably that one.
I think we have it somewhere.
I'm sure. It's popular. It's super popular.
My husband and your husband have similar tastes in collectibles.
True. And another one for the bingo cards. We do have a Catherine Winkworth reference in this episode, even though she did not translate any of these hymns.
Okay.
August Kroll translated 38 hymns from German to English, which in our LCMS tradition puts him second only behind Catherine Winkworth, who was also translating sort of at this time a little bit earlier, but around the same era of like, let's translate all of the German hymns. So it's Winkworth and then August Kroll, which is that's pretty high standings. For the ELHB in 1889, August Kroll relied on her translations along with Richard Massey. He's the second bonus person, and John Kelly, who we'll have to get a mention later because he also comes up twice. He also translated a bunch on his own because there were just weren't enough good or any translations of some of these texts for the hymnal. He like really loved this stuff. August Kroll resigned from Concordia College in 1915 and retired to Milwaukee. He struggled with mental illness and was in and out of a sanitarium for a while. He likely had depression for most of his life.
Yeah. Genius and mental illness often go together.
The best musicians we have really struggle with this. He died on February 17, 1923 in Milwaukee, and I cannot wait to meet him in the new creation.
Amen.
And now, speaking of Richard Massey, I have given him a shout out several times in other episodes. I wasn't going to put him in because he doesn't translate any of these, but since he's mentioned in August Kroll's story, we might as well just share him too.
Okay.
In for a penny, in for a pound. Let's go.
It is a full side quest right now. I was having fun. Funny enough, there's actually not much written about Richard Massey. We don't know a ton about him. He's listed as also one of the great German to English translators along with Catherine Winkworth and John Kelly. They're kind of all in the same camp of amazing translators, which is why his story is here right now. Richard Massey was born on June 18, 1880 in Chester, Cheshire, England. So he is English speaking language first. This is why I had to tell you the story. He's fourth of 22 children, y'all.
Wow.
His parents, the Reverend Richard Massey, who is an Anglican rector, and Hester Townshend lived in Wincham Hall, and they apparently really loved having kids. I don't know.
Apparently.
I was trying to do the math on that. Like, there must have been some multiples. I don't know. The math on that is hard. Hester had a miscarriage between her two youngest, and honestly, if that's the only one she had, that's really incredible, and was in the habit of saying she had 22 children twice, which is kind of sweet. The older children acted as godparents to the younger ones. I mean, that's a huge age gap. You might be thinking that a family with 22 kids might be just scraping by in poverty, but no. The Massey family settled in Cheshire in the 15th century, so Richard the Younger inherited two estates. I don't know how many estates his family had, but he inherited two of them. He was a man of wealth and leisure for his whole life. He married Marianne Hughes in 1834, but sadly she died 7 years later and he never remarried and never had children. Kind of sad. He was apparently a very eccentric guy. He was reported to wear a red wig and tall beaver hat. I would really love to see a picture of this. He had an injury at one point, so he needed a crutch, but then he kept carrying it long after he actually needed it, just for funsies. He also had an extensive rock garden, which was an odd thing in that day. So he just kind of lived his own life and, you know.
Artist.
Yep, definitely, definitely artist. I love it. He really, really loved literature, though, and he's most remembered for his translation of Martin Luther's hymns into metrical verse. I don't think he was Lutheran, though. That's why he showed up so much. He shows up for us all over the place. He published Martin Luther's Spiritual Songs in 1854, and his aim was to translate with accuracy, keeping the biblical language simple, but also throwing in an air of archaic dignity. Yes, by using old language.
Archaic dignity. We're writing in the modern era, but let's try to make it sound medieval, shall we?
Yes, exactly. Translating is a hard business, as we've talked about, mm-hmm. and Massey really obviously preferred communicating the meaning over poetic beauty. So his translations were described at one point for being, quote, for the most part, colorless and flat, end quote.
Oh. Ouch.
In addition to hymnals and all the stuff we have from him, his translations are also in volume 53 of Luther's works. So this is pretty cool. Massey also translated Paul Gerhardt, so he shows up with Paul Gerhardt hymns as well. He died at his estate in Coddington on March 11, 1887, and boy, what a guy. So there we go. Side quest complete.
Just have to point out, you're struggling with the math on that 22 kids. If you married around 18,
yeah,
and maintained your fertility until that, you know, average 45-ish,
yeah, mm-hmm.
no problem at all.
That's true.
Like you could even have a year off now and again.
Now and again. Woo! Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As long as you maintained your health. And it sounds like she did, which is great.
She did. Mm-hmm. She did not die in childbirth, as far as I know, which is also impressive at that time. Yeah. I mean, there we go. Okay, back to the hymns. Woo! That was a fun side quest, at least for me it was. 920, Fourth in the Peace of Christ we go. This one is a newer one, right? Is this the one that mm-hmm. nobody knows?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, this is one nobody knows, and that's for good reason. James Quinn wrote it. He lived 1919 to 2010, so he died somewhat recently. He was Jesuit. He wrote this hymn inspired by Vatican II, which was 1962 to 65, specifically to speak about the life of the Christian as king, priest, and prophet. So this is part of one of the council's documents. Christians serve God in their daily vocations, the spiritual priesthood. We live holy lives and speak the word of truth as prophets. And we spread Christ's kingdom to the world, kings.
Now, Sarah, I just have to point out, while I love the prophet, priest, king archetype, telling everybody that this came out of Vatican II is not going to make it more popular in the Missouri Synod.
I know. I know. I read that too. And I was like, what does that make it better? You're right. Yeah.
It's okay. It is what it is. It's a great hymn.
It is. But you have a point. The text first appeared in, guess what? The Welsh tune. Hold on. Pause. I didn't look up how to pronounce this one.
Angelus?
No.
Oh, the original tune.
The original.
Oh, okay. Is it used elsewhere in our hymn?
Lethrud. Okay. I don't think so. Where'd my notes go? The text first appeared with the Welsh tune Lethrud, L-L-E-D-R-O-D, in Hymns for Celebration in 1974, which is how it appears in LW. So that is the tune. If you're familiar with this hymn from LW, that would be the tune that you're more familiar with. Hmm. In LSB, we have the less angular and more familiar tune, Angelus.
The less angular?
Less angular. I don't know that. I should have looked that up so I could see what it is. Apparently, it's a very angular tune, and there's no LW in the studio, so I can't look. But we'll have to sing them back to back someday.
Yeah.
Also, what is with all the Welsh tunes in this? They're like all combined in this one tiny little section in the hymnal. It's just really funny. And I can't sing this one. It is a lovely tune, though.
I have sung that, and I like it.
Yeah. I mean, hearing it, yes, I have definitely sung the tune. I still don't think I've sung the hymn.
That's very possible. I think it's probably far less.
Or, yeah, if I have, it's been like once or twice in my life.
Yeah. Are you looking up the other tune, Rachel?
I am.
I am too.
It is a little angular. Kind of like it, though.
Hmm.
Sorry. Side quest.
Yeah, I don't know it either. Okay.
I've never heard a hymn tune described as angular. So, of course, mm-hmm. my curiosity was piqued.
Angular. Yep. Okay. 921. On What Has Now Been Sown. I think this one's far more common. This was written by English clergyman John Newton, who is maybe familiar to a lot of you. He lived 1725
Absolutely.
To 1807. He also wrote LSB 524, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. LSB 648, Glorious Things of You Are Spoken, and LSB 744, Amazing Grace, and LSB 779, Come My Soul With Every Care. So we have several of his hymns in our hymnal. I think everyone probably knows Amazing Grace. So he's very popular for that one. This hymn on what has now been sewn was originally two hymns that got sewn together. LOL. Haha. That was not in my notes, by the way. That was
just, is a terrible pun and I love it.
Sorry, not sorry. Here's the story. Maybe you know a little bit about John Newton because of his story writing Amazing Grace. But in case you don't, he had been an unbeliever. He was a deserter from the Royal Navy and the captain of a ship that was involved in the slave trade. So pretty rough stuff in his life. He found his way back to the Christian faith, partly because of his memory of his mother's devotion. He read a lot of Thomas A. Kempis, the influence of his faithful wife, and the writings of John and Charles Wesley. So he became a clergyman, and his first parish was in Olney, Buckinghamshire. I don't know how to pronounce British stuff. It's really bad. And the poet William Cowper there. And John Newton presented this idea that they should compile a hymn book together. And that became Olney Hymns in 1779. And it had the hymns, the ones that we have in LSB were in this hymnal and the two that became On What Has Now Been Sown. So the first part of it comes from this hymn titled When Contradictions Meet, which was such a catchy tune. Our title name.
Contradictions Meet.
It was written to accompany his New Year's sermon for January 1st, 1776. And it's about when a pastor is sad when his preaching seems to have no effect, but is happy when it nurtures faith. And that the last stanza of that hymn is titled On What Has Now Been Sown. So that became our first stanza.
Okay.
And then that stanza got smashed with another complete hymn in Olney Hymns in the Church of Ireland's Church Hymnal in 1873. And the text we have is slightly altered from the version in Lutheran Book of Worship. It's just a short and sweet little hymn that God would bless the gifts that he gives to us in the divine service. The tune for this one is, I think, probably very familiar. Darwall's 148th.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know that by name, you'll probably know it when I sing it.
Oh, yeah.
We have for three hymns, also 912 and 966. John Darwall, I thought this was kind of cool. He wrote tunes for all 150 psalms in Tate and Brady's new version of the Psalms of David, published in 1696. So this is an old tune. We've talked about before the Calvinist influence on church singing only psalms in the worship service rather than congregational hymns like Luther taught and was widely practiced in Lutheran churches by this point. That's why we have so many psalm paraphrases in our hymnal. This was the tune for the 148th psalm, Ye Boundless Realms of Joy, hence being called Darwall's 148th.
That's why it's 148th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is Old 100th, is that also a psalm?
I believe so.
Tune?
For Psalm 100. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What do you know?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
All right. On what has now been sown, thy blessing, Lord, bestow. The power is thine alone to make it sprout and grow. Do thou in grace the harvest raise, and thou alone shalt have the praise. To thee our wants are known, from thee are all our powers. Accept what is thine own, and pardon what is ours. Our praises, Lord, and prayers receive, and to thy word a blessing give. O grant that each of us now met before thee here may meet together thus when thou and thine appear, and follow thee to heaven our home in. So amen, Lord Jesus, come.
I love that one.
So fun.
I do. And if you are interested in John Newton's life, it was featured in the 2006 film Amazing Grace, which told the story not only of his conversion, but also of the British fight against slavery led by William Wilberforce.
So, right.
Interesting.
Ooh. Uh-huh. That would be excellent. All right. 922, go, my children, with my blessing. This is a lovely Yaroslav Vaida hymn. Vaida lived 1919 to 2008, so it's also quite recent. He wrote some really magical hymnody, and because he's such a recent writer, we get the exact reason why he wrote hymns from his own words. So this is fun. For this one, CPH was looking for a text to make yet another Welsh tune. Arhydynos, A-R-H-Y-D-Y-N-O-S, Arhydynos.
Mm-hmm.
Appropriate for daytime use, since the original folk text is All Through the Night, and the familiar pairing is with the evening text, God Who Made the Earth and Heaven, which is LSB 877. We've talked about that in a previous podcast, I believe. The tune as printed in Musical and Poetical Relics, with a K, of the Welsh Bards in London in 1748. And the tune we have in LSB has a setting by the amazing, fabulous, brilliant Ray Vaughan Williams.
Yeah. I actually really love the tune.
Oh, I just love Vaughan Williams. So as a counterpart to his Now the Silence, which is LSB 910, that's an entrance hymn into the divine service and is talking about what will be happening. Go, My Children is talking about what has just happened in the divine service and sends us out with a benediction from God. So they're kind of like bookends of the divine service, which is kind of cool. I didn't know that before. So you've got opening and closing hymn from Vaida. Now, some of you, or many of you maybe, have used the wedding stanza for this hymn. We did not. We used other hymns because we could have just had a hymn sing for our wedding at this point.
That would have been very on brand.
With our orchestra that we hired. The perk of a wedding right after you graduate college at Concordia with lots of music friends. Anyway, we did not, but it's so common. It's very lovely. The stanza exists because Pastor Harold M. Rau, which now I need to know if I'm related to him. I did not do an ancestry search, but Rau is my grandmother's maiden name. So, and they do exist in the St. Louis area. And
more degrees of connection to our hymns.
I know. I need to dig into this. There are a lot of them, so I'm not actually like really closely related to all of them, but I am closely related to some of them. So he was a pastor in Dexter, Missouri. So I don't know.
Wait,
relatives of Harold Rau.
What did he do?
So I didn't actually tell you yet. Oh. I was just excited because he might be my relative. He suggested to Yaroslav Vaida that a wedding stanza would be nice to insert into the middle or substitute for a stanza, which is the suggestion to substitute for stanza two. So he did it. That's why that stanza exists, because the pastor told him it would be nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. I will sing stanza one of this. Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. There we go. I think I'd like it better if it was up a few steps. That's probably why I don't like the tune as much. It's really low. Okay. All right. Almighty Father, bless the word. 923. This hymn has some early American Lutheran ties.
Oh, there's Old 100th.
Hey.
Yeah. In this section.
It is. This is such a lovely little section of surprises. I had no idea it was going to be so interesting.
We're only doing eight hymns.
Yeah, okay. The author is unknown. It was first published in 1823 in a collection from William Augustus Muhlenberg called, a gloriously long title, Church Poetry, being portions of the psalms in verse and hymns suited to the festivals and fasts and various occasions of the church. Period. Yes. The book has plenty of metrical psalms, but it also has some hymns for points in the liturgy. And this one is labeled as a concluding hymn for after the sermon at the close of the service. A line in stanza two was changed from "Thus in thy courts to seek thy face" to "As homeward now our steps we trace," which when I was reading it before, I was thinking of like, oh, we're talking about how we like walk toward our heavenly home or something like that. No, this is literally talking about physically walking home from church.
Yeah.
Because back in the day when this was written, like people actually walked to and from church mm-hmm. because you went to your parish church that was close to where you mm-hmm. lived, which not a lot of us do anymore. And that's just a lovely change. That was proposed in 1938 in the Northwestern Lutheran, which was a periodical from the Wisconsin Synod and was included in TLH. You might notice, thank you to Aaron, that the tune is Old Hundredth. So there's your Louis Bourgeois point on the card. It's so short. The hymn is very short. So LSB added the common doxology written by Thomas Ken to the very end. Very appropriate.
And that is one reason I really love this hymn, because everyone always forgets that it's there. Mm-hmm. And so if it is being sung at the end of a service and you get to the end of it and all of a sudden, oh, look, the doxology, like the volume goes way up. Everyone right. is just so happy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, we know this.
We can close the hymnal a stanza before the end and just right. sing exactly. full voice.
Yes. And you might recognize the name Muhlenberg if you know some American Lutheran history. We talked about him in the episode. So if you've been listening for a long time, you'll know this. Because William Augustus is the grandson of Henry Melchior Muhlenberg, who lived 1711 to 1787 and was the father of American Lutheranism. And side note, another coffee hour shout out. So this just connections everywhere. If you want to know more about this and early American Lutheranism, when this podcast drops, we will be releasing a history series with Dr. Cameron McKenzie from Concordia Seminary Fort Wayne, Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, on the history of American Lutheranism. It is fantastic. You're going to want to listen if you love that kind of history. So that will be great. So William Augustus was not Lutheran, which makes sense after recording with Cameron McKenzie about the wild time in American Lutheranism in the early to mid 1700s. Mm-hmm. He was influential in the Episcopal Church and called himself a, quote, evangelical Catholic, which is funny now because that's a title some Lutherans use today. So it didn't mean the same thing back then. As a priest, he promoted sacramental liturgical worship and preached justification by faith, probably some Lutheran roots, also Anglicanism. Sometimes I don't entirely understand what Anglican churches believe. It's a little, anyway. I believe he also came up in our Sunday school episode because he was a leader in that movement and he opened Christian schools and was a pioneer in ministry to the poor. So big, big time Lutheran family there with a lot of just church roots. So I'm going to sing this one because this is definitely public domain.
Almighty Father, bless the word which through your grace we now have heard. Oh, may the precious seed take root, spring up and bear abundant fruit. We praise you for the means of grace, as homeward now our steps we trace. Grant, Lord, that we who worshipped here may all at last in heaven appear. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
All right, last one. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. This one is probably most likely written by John Fawcett, who lived 1740 to 1817. It's not super 100% yes, for sure, but it's been attributed to him since at least 1786. So we're like 99% sure. Hmm. It was first published, I say we like I'm any part of the decision. It was first published as an anonymous hymn in a supplement to the Shawbury Hymn Book in 1773. And trivia time, it's one of four hymns with this first line in Julian's Dictionary of Hymnology, although it's probably the most well-known. But apparently there's several hymns with Lord Dismiss Us With Your Blessing. The third stanza is for sure written by Godfrey Thring, who lived 1823 to 1903, and it's altered a bit from TLH, but not like a ton. The first two stanzas are altered just slightly from the 1773 text, but this is just a lovely little hymn to send us on our way. Lord dismiss us with... Whoa, hold on.
You got this.
There we go. Wrong key. Woo.
Lord dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful, to your truth may we be found. Savior, when your love shall call us from our struggling pilgrim way, may not fear of death appall us, glad your summons to obey. May we ever reign with you in endless day.
That was a switch from Old Hundredth.
Yes, you have done a great job navigating some very wide-ranging tunes today without any accompaniment.
And or that bit, rehearsal.
Yes. And it's a beautiful little hymn. And all of these are just so, so great at sending us out the door. Like,
yeah.
They just, you end the service on a high. And they don't actually get used as much as they could, because oftentimes so many of the hymns that are chosen for the last hymn are going to be thematic with the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so often these are the ones that get pulled out as backup options when you can't find just the right hymn otherwise.
Yeah, it feels like a good outro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to one of the classics.
Middle of the summer, we've run out of Pentecost themed hymns. So
Right. But honestly, you could use them a lot more often than used. And because they're so well suited for this.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Do you guys have favorites or non-favorites?
Definitely Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
Although, honestly, I always get it mixed up whether because it's the tune in particular that I love for it. A lot of these are partly why I love them so much is because they have such strong tunes that go with them. Lord Dismiss Us With Your Blessing is also one. And the first one, Savior Again to Thy Dear Name We Raise.
I love that one.
Tunes, and as Rachel pointed out, also actually a number of these have really strong harmonies built in.
Thank you, Welsh tunes.
One that didn't come up that I was like, what? I thought that was a close of service one is Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Sent Forth.
Mm-hmm. That's in the communion section.
It is. And it's the last song in the communion section.
Yeah.
And part of me wonders, like, in a previous...
It used to be a close of service hymn.
Close of service. And they're like, it's really more of a close of communion.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's another one that I do.
That's true.
Do love for a close
agreed.
Of great. Hymn.
That's a great choice. Yeah, hymns get moved around
in
different categories.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really love On What Has Now Been Sown and Almighty Father, Bless the Word. And then also I love Lord Dismiss Us With Your Blessing.
Yeah.
Again, just really rousing tunes with very appropriate texts.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because Sent Forth by God's Blessing is a Welsh tune.
So, of course it is.
Indeed.
What?
All the Welsh
tunes. What is happening?
All right.
Discovering a new category of hymnology things that I love. Welsh tunes.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Because I do love that hymn. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that when we did communion hymns at some point. Did. But it is an excellent one.
Yeah.
I would put that as an honorary mention in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I got. The poll is still up in the Facebook group. If any of y'all want to go back and comment, there are a lot of comments on there. I didn't put any of them in because we're already nearing an hour and I didn't want to have any more side quests in this. already had one significant side quest.
Uh-huh.
So there are plenty of comments. If you guys want to go read and reply to those or share your own stories, you can certainly do that in the Lutheran Ladies Lounge Facebook group. You can also follow us on Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. I'll be posting some of these hymns throughout the week after this podcast drops if you want to sing them in your head a little bit. Oh, I can put the Welsh names on Instagram too on the images.
Oh, try to pronounce them yourselves, everyone.
That would be a fun game.
It would.
Like, you should have it where like the first page is just the thing and then the second page is like a phonetic pronunciation.
That I'm saying.
Yeah, that'd
be fun. I'm going to have to write that down because I will forget between where full disclosure, we're recording this in the middle of December, so I will not remember by January that we said we were going to do that. So yeah. I will put that in. But yes, follow us in both of those places. You can find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
We all need like Welsh tune names now.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies, we have a treat for you. In 2006, the Erin Bodie Group traveled to rural South Africa to record a CD with the Temba Girls in South Africa. And this was a project from LCMS World Relief and Human Care. And one of the pieces that Erin's group recorded was LSB 922, Go My Children With My Blessing. And we got permission from CPH and from Erin Bodie to share that with you on this podcast. So please enjoy this recording and we'll put the link in the show notes to where you can find the rest of that CD recording on YouTube or anywhere else that you listen to music. So enjoy.
This is my head. the gold, my children, I will keep you and give you peace.
I think it's so amazing that human beings have this creative ability of having an idea and then making it reality.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.